Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. Today, we're going to be talking about our third installment of the Eastern Conference Breakdown. But first, let me introduce my counterparts, my better halves, Rabbit and the Bagman. How's it going, fellas?
What up? It's going so good, Wesley. Thanks for having me.
Yippee! We're going to be talking about five of the final teams, and in my opinion, probably the more exciting teams. We're going to talk about Washington. We're going to be talking about Miami. We're going to be talking about Atlanta. We're going to be talking about Chicago. And last but not least, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Along with every team breakdown, we're going to be doing a three-segment piece. Yes or no's, hypotheticals, my last episode killed it, and then a weak link award, which is a Eat Up Steven award. Let's start with the Washington Wizards in this third part podcast. And again, if you are listening to this on iTunes, please press subscribe. The Washington Wizards finished 46-36 with fifth in the East. They had Beal come back from injury. We had a broken hand from Wall. ESPN thinks they're going to do exactly the same this year, losing Paul Pierce to the Clippers. Where did you guys have them, Bagman?
I've got them at fifth again as well.
Oh, fifth. Interesting. What about you, Rabbit?
Yeah, I got him at fifth.
Oh, cool. Yes, I have him at fifth as well.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Wow. So they got Gary Neal, Allen Anderson, everyone's favorite player, Jared Dudley, and they got they lost Pierce.
Well, Pierce is a huge loss there. I think they've really found that match with him at the end of the year where they were having him play small ball power forward. And he can sort of subsidize that with Dudley and Allen Anderson to a certain extent, but I think the odd man out here is Nene. I don't really like that pairing of Gortat and Nene. Gortat himself has even said he'd like to play with a power forward that can actually stretch the floor a little bit and give him more room to play pick and roll, which, you know, with John Wall or initiating that and Bradley Beal and other shooters on the wings, you know, a Ryan Anderson type person, a power forward, would seem to make the most sense there. But now you're looking at Drew Gooden and Jared Dudley and a little bit of Chris Humphries. So that would be like my hot tip. If I was them, I'd be looking to move Nene for something a bit different. But I think other than that, the core guys are sort of a pretty good-looking bunch.
I think you're right with Nene. It was super apparent in the playoffs last year against Atlanta. And Nene, Gortat, frontcourt just wasn't getting it done.
But the year before that, it was getting it done.
Was it though?
They had a great year.
They're a year older. I don't know. I think it's not in the. They're not going in the right direction, especially the way the league's going in terms of sort of smaller ball. You need a four. You need a stretch four. Yeah, I think they can still turn him into something pretty good. I like Dudley though.
Oh, why?
He's played a lot of stretch four. He can do it.
Yeah.
Haven't you listened to some podcasts? The guy's a gentleman. He's great. Epic chemistry guy.
King of doing well when it doesn't matter.
No, how dare you? Can't talk ill of Dudley. What about Bradley Beal? That's sort of the X factor for them this season. If he can stay healthy, he's due for another step up. Possibly almost, I'd be looking for him to be banging on the door of All-Star. I would hope.
Well, he keeps going absolutely bananas in the playoffs. And doesn't have the greatest regular season. You just look for him to string together those peak performances over the course of 82 games and really put a dent in it. And then, yep. You know, how many better two guards are there in the East than him? So it's right there for him. He's just got to stay on the court and keep doing what he do.
Otto Porter could be a good breakout year for him as well. He seems to be ready, poised to do some damage.
But how amazing was Paul Pierce in the playoffs last year?
I mean, you can't undermine that loss. It's huge.
He was the most exciting part, him and Wall playing with a broken hand. He made last season so exciting for the Wizards, I reckon. And his loss is just great for the Clippers.
Well, they just need to recalibrate now because Porter's locked in as a small forward, and it's his job to lose. And, you know, stylistically, with Wall and Beal, you're looking at three really fast, athletic young guys who like to get out on the break. Beal can spot up. Porter likes to take it to the cup. So, you know, you just got to – they're sort of set up to be this really good, elite, fast-breaking defensive team, and they've got, you know, the perfect point guard in John Wall to do it. Like, the only guy better equipped for that sort of a team would be like a Westbrook type like character. So you got to start building the team around that. So I think they got to really turn it into this like super intense switching, just blinding defense, like a la the Miami Heat championship teams of 2 years ago, and crank it up and really put the pressure on and play a full court game.
The scary thing is though that they're an injury away from mediocrity though. You know, that bench is pretty average. Gary Neal's backing up Bradley Beal. Sessions is backing up John Wall. Like, that's scary. So, and it's concerning when, you know, Beal is a bit injury prone. I don't know. I really like this team when they're firing. And just, you're just scared about the depth a little bit.
All right, let's go into yes or no.
Yes or no.
Well, I read a little piece around that said John Wall is on board to help recruit Durant next year. This is sucks, but you know it's an easy one. But will Durant go to Washington?
Yes, and he'll go to LA, and he'll also go to New York. It's going to be an exciting year for him.
Wow,
I reckon no.
Bag, you know what's
well,
up.
Well, every team's going to have money next year with the bargaining agreement, and so I think if some of the you know higher profile teams are smart, they'll carve out enough cap space and have a legit contender ready to go and him just to swallow up all that free money. It's the perfect time to be a free agent. If you hear him, he's going to have way more choice in terms of where he goes than most other like super duper star free agents would have had in years past just because of this weird anomaly with the salary cap. So yeah. I wouldn't be choosing DC if I was him.
I'd choose LA. Come on. And what about you, Rabbit? What do you think?
I say no. Like, I don't think him and John Wall are really in any sort of dick click or anything like that. You know, it's like Durant's going to go either stay in Oklahoma where he can keep pushing. Depends on this year. But, yeah, he might go to a bigger market. That was only one of my yes or no's, though, because that was a kind of an easy one.
Just really quickly, let's just remember how shit Oklahoma City's logo, uniforms, and overall franchise is.
Can't let it go.
Continue on. Sorry.
After two straight Eastern Conference semifinals, do Washington have any chance of getting to the conference finals?
You know, well, they're like one piece away sort of thing.
They were like one game away last year. Mm. But, you know, you don't see them running over Miami or Chicago or Cleveland.
Or so. The Heat, motherfucker. Come on.
Yeah, I said Miami. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Sorry.
Sorry.
Or Atlanta.
Oh, they can beat Atlanta.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Atlanta.
Mm. I'll be surprised. All right, well, let's move on to hypotheticals with Bag.
Well, we all know Rabbit's got a massive heart on for John Wall. That's no secret.
Yeah,
proud of it. Totally proud of it.
Yeah. How would you feel about? Would you rather have John Wall's looks and Bradley Beal's game, or Bradley Beal's looks and John Wall's game?
Oh.
I'll go Wall's looks, Beal's game. I think Beal's got red game. I'll take that game. He's one of the most athletic players in the NBA.
I just want John Wall's game. So, yeah, and Bradley Beal's a pretty good-looking dude. So, yeah, you know John Wall gave away $400,000 just recently to for a charity in Washington?
Have you got Google alerts for John Wall every time he does something to get emailed? Is that how it works?
I think he's just more than a pretty face and has mad game. He's also a gentleman. So
and he can dance and he'd treat you right.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a catch. He's a real catch.
And as I previously stated, my weak link is either Jared Dudley or Nene. Let's move on to the next team, which is the Miami Heat. So they finished 37-45, 10th in the East. Plagued with injuries and weirdness. ESPN, however, thinks they're going to get fourth this year. Bagman, what do you have them at?
I have them finishing second.
Yes.
Wow,
so do I.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm high on Miami.
I'm all in on Miami.
Yeah, I'm super high on them, love them, but I have them at fourth. which I think is admirable.
You think Atlanta are better than Miami?
Well, I have Atlanta finishing first, but we can get into that later.
What? Oh, my God.
This is regular season, man. So retarded. Okay, regular season. It's about consistency.
I like the controversy, I guess.
Okay.
I'm going to say that I'm just like half full glass on Miami, you know what I mean? They could challenge and should challenge the Cavaliers. I think they've reloaded well. And I also think shit always seems to fall into place for Riley. Like, you look at over the years what he's done, everything he touches, if it was LA, if it was Miami getting Shaq back, way back, LeBriz coming over, people buy into Riley. And, you know, like Dragic was a steal. They got Justice Winslow for nothing. Like that, they shouldn't have got him. Whiteside came out of nowhere. And, you know, guess who is on the bench there who could just be rejuvenated under Riley? Who is it, Wes? Who is it?
Josh McRoberts.
No, come on. It's your boy.
Gerald Green.
Come on.
I can't believe this. I can't believe how.
Mario Chalmers. Who else is on the team?
Oh, Phoenix. Wes Goggles.
Oh, Amari, come on.
You've been talking about him all season, every season.
He's in a movie getting knee surgery. That's his part that he plays
in
Trainwreck.
It's perfectly scripted, all I'm saying. It feels good there.
I think the most exciting part about this team, other than the starting five, is Mario Chalmers is a backup point guard instead of a starting point guard. I love Josh McRoberts as your backup power forward instead of a starting power forward. I mean, that's two players right there that could be starters on other teams. That's awesome. Other than that, they got Gerald Green for some highlight reels. However, it's about consistency, and I don't think they're going to be consistent enough to get better than fourth in the East. Pow!
I'm all in. I got a shopping list of reasons why I'm all about this team. So, for starters, like you said, the top 10 players, they all belong. They're all guys that, you know, have a place, have skills that translate to being successful NBA type players. So, like, straight away, and you look at the depth, and that's going to really help, you know, spell guys like Bosch and Wade and Deng over the course of a long season instead of, you know, making him have to play 35, 40 minutes a game. That's huge. I love Gerald Green, a little bit of a spark plug, unpredictability, scoring off the bench. Every good team needs that. Flexibility, you've got, you know, you can go small playing Bosch at center. We know that works, especially McRoberts has got a bit of playmaking from the power forward. That's epic. Winslow, I think, can guard top wing players like right away. And we keep forgetting that Spoelstra is like a bit of a guru at getting pieces like this to fit together defensively and make them a really hard team to score and just be lethal, creative, and unpredictable. The defense is going to be good. And I think by the time, maybe second in terms of where they actually finish is a bit hectic in terms of regular season, but I think they're the second best team. So it's hard to leave them out of that spot, because if you just look at their team, I think they're the second best team for sure.
Easy, easy.
I want them to be. I want them to be the first best team. If they went all the way, I'd be pumped.
Well, they match up with Cleveland really well. That's the thing as well I'm looking forward to when those guys go at it. I mean, we're all thinking this could be the conference finals. That would be an epic series if everyone's healthy.
And just everyone can shoot well enough just to keep you honest outside, you know. Bosch, McRoberts, and Deng. None of those guys are like fucking Steve Novak or anything like that. Same with Chalmers, but I feel like if they can generate some good open looks, and, you know, the pick and pop game with Dragic and Bosch is just going to be boners everywhere.
Yep.
So
yep.
I feel like they're going to be generating good shots, and they're just good enough to knock them down. And Whiteside can play a little bit away from the basket. And I just see like so many good options there in terms of personnel and what Spoelstra is going to have them doing. There's just winners. They're all winners somehow.
What do you think? Can Amari be a factor this year?
Well, I wasn't planning on having to talk about him because Wes always beats him off straight off the bat. I thought it would be the first thing you lead off with, like going, oh, Omari's going to lead them.
All I had in my notes was that he was great in Trainwreck, and you don't even agree with me on that. So.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, dude.
No one was great in Trainwreck.
See it with your girlfriend. It would be a perfect movie to watch with her.
Okay. Thanks for Rotten Tomatoes. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Well, it's true. There's a little bit of basketball in it. Marv Albert's in there, so you can Dave Fez can jerk off to that. And then,
yeah, good Marv cameo, actually.
Great Marv cameo. I'm saying my lines. All right. Well, let's go into yes or no's with Roberto.
Yes or no?
Can they take down Cleveland straight up?
No.
Well, yeah, sure. Why not?
I'm saying yes. I want to see it.
I guess they got that thing where they might have an advantage over them in terms of their bigs.
And their depth?
Yeah, I just think they're going to have trouble hanging with Kyrie and LeBron.
Well, the one thing is this could be a this could just be an all-in kind of season, though. That's the other thing. It's they're paying. Don't forget, they're paying Wade $20 million this season, one year. So next year they're going to have a crack at free agency as well and see what happens. So they could quite easily blow this team up pretty quick as well. Like, you know, Luol Deng's not cemented in that spot there. I don't know if Dragic is. Well, Dragic is. What was his contract? 5 years, wasn't it? $90 million.
Yeah, he's there for the distance. He's Bosh. And they're going to have to re-up Whiteside next year. He's getting paid nothing this year. But, you know, and then same with Wade. So they have to pay Whiteside and Wade if they want to keep the team together. But
they won't pay Wade what he's earning this year. And will he take a pay cut next year? They're gonna have a crack at Durant, that's for sure.
Well, this would be the best place for Durant to land, I think. That would be unbelievable.
Yep.
Why do you say that, Bag?
Just because of the makeup of the team. What they lack is a knockdown shooter who can do other things as well. And Durant is just like the richest man's version of that. Just putting
it's
him
just
in.
Replacing LeBron with him, like pretty much in Miami. It's wild.
All right.
A go-to scorer with, you know, when Wade riding off into the sunset of his douchey life.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right, hit me with your hypothetical, Bag.
Okay, my hypotheticals, I've called it Pat Riley's time machine. So if you were Pat Riley and you could go back in time and lose the 2013-2014 finals but keep LeBron for the rest of his career, would you do that?
Oh, he would. I'd say yes, he would. Definitely. He got Shabazz Napier just to try and make him happy. As Doc says, it's very difficult to win a championship, and I think he would understand that and want to keep LeBron. Plus, think about when they said that, you know, LeBron brought $500 million of money to the community and to the area of Cleveland just by his
Riley
presence.
Doesn't give a fuck about that.
Yeah, but it's good for the team, good for the franchise, it's good for everything having LeBron as a part of your team. So I'd say yes on every level.
I'm kind of saying no. Like, you're never guaranteed to get back to get a ring. If a ring's there for the taking, it's pretty hard to say no to that. I'm saying no, as in I'm winning. I'm winning there. I'm taking the ring right there.
Well, that's what I was thinking of, just in terms of winning. You know, like, say you kept LeBron in Miami starting last year, would you think that you would win more than two chips going forward? Maybe, maybe not. That's why it's tough. But yeah, I think if you've got like the best player of a generation, you would lock him down. He's still got another like 8 good years left, I think.
Who cares? Let's move on. Next up.
Who cares? Fuck you, cunt. Who cares about my hypothetical? I don't care about your weak link.
Okay. No, it was very good.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it's no four-leaf clover.
It's no apocalypse. All right, and the weak link, obviously, for me.
Eat up, Steven. You're the weakest.
The only weak link I could see would be maybe Wade's knees or Birdman's computer.
Birdman's computer, yeah, right.
Okay, cheeky. Let's move on to cheeky. Atlanta.
So cheeky.
ESPN ranked them at third. Last year they got first, 60-22. Okay? They lost their most hustle guy in the whole hustle world, Damari Carroll, Antic, and Elton Brand at 97 years old. They got Tiago Splitter, Hardaway Jr., and Justin Holiday. Love Tiago Splitter. So, yes, ESPN has ranked them third. I have them at first for the regular season. This has nothing to do with the playoffs, just the regular old season, motherfuckers.
You're off your head.
You're tweaking. I have them at fourth.
Why? Why can't they be consistent?
Because Cephalosha is here starting small forward and you're playing 4 and 5.
Yeah.
I've got them at sixth.
Sixth?
Yep. I'm not high on it. Don't like it. I got to have Milwaukee. It's Milwaukee at fourth. So they're at sixth.
Milwaukee. Sixth. Yeah.
I think it was the Jag last season. They're not going to win nearly as many games. They're super predictable now. And losing Damari Carroll for Sefolosha, like, that's huge. This is a team that all the pieces fit, you know? It's like a San Antonio thing. Everyone flows together. Like, they're going to be telegraphing Korver's threes all season, so you can defend that. You know, I think Millsap is super injury prone, and I don't know if he can last 82 games. So then you've got Mike Scott filling in there, who just quietly was just arrested with his brother for a shit ton of weed and might be going to jail. That's pretty huge. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know why he copped to it. He's clearly got a brighter future than his brother. Why would you mortgage your future against someone like your mate? There's no way his brother's going to earn like $4 or $5 million in a year.
Well, didn't they both get arrested?
Yeah, but he's copping to it. Like, Mike Scott's taking the fall.
Oh, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah, sorry, bro. I'll get you the best lawyer money can buy, but this is you. You're doing this.
Yeah.
McCuddy.
Thiago Splitter's coming from the Spurs. I think he's going to do great there. And Tim Hardaway Jr. might give you, some arrogance, a little bit of headaches. Isolation ball. He's
lawsuits.
They have him down as third string. Is he really going to be third string shooting guard on the team?
I mean, Kent Bazemore's kind of earned his spot, yeah. And he was playing pretty good last season off the bench. I think he's young.
And
he can handle it.
Who's Horford's backup?
Well, it's Splitter. And Splitter is a massive upgrade on Antic, that's for sure. I mean, Antic had a jump shot, had a three ball. Splitter doesn't, but Splitter's a smarter player.
So do you think Splitter, they might play a little bit more like Twin Towers or more?
Well, it's sort of like triple towers. I think it's like a bit of a red flag because your best five in terms of just your personnel would be Splitter, Horford, and Millsap as your front court.
And you've got to leave Sefolosha on the bench and have Teague and Korver. That's not good. It's not good.
You've got, when teams are playing small, you've got Millsap having to chase around a wing player, and he's not exactly that, even though he does have sort of wing player skills. I just don't know if that, you know, if you want to trade out your best five guys, is that like a combination that's going to work? So I think you're going to see mostly, you know, two of those three guys playing together. So we're out of Horford, Splitter and Millsap in various forms, and you're just a little weak at the wing positions in terms of two-way players. You know, you got Korver and Hardaway Jr., you know, mostly scorers, shooters, offensive guys, and Sefolosha and Bazemore are the opposite of that, mostly defensive. And like you were saying before, Rabbit, it's all about the flow, not having any weaknesses like they did last year. And I think there's just a couple of holes now, but I don't expect them to regress out of home court just because the system's money. And Teague, Millsap, Horford, Splitter, Korver, these are good players, you know, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Splitter will fit into Buzz's offense quite well. I mean, that's you can bank on that. But I just think that Damari Carroll is such a loss, and it's going to become super apparent 20 games in how much that team relied on what he brought. And I think it's going to really hurt them.
They're not irreplaceable skills. He's not like fucking Steph Curry or anything like that.
No,
about Damari Carroll.
I know, but like as a sort of, like you said before, a Swiss Army knife kind of dude. I mean, who's going to guard LeBron? Millsap? We saw what happened in the playoffs last year. And then you're going to have to put Sefolosha on him? No way.
And we got Kyle Korver coming back from injury, which brings me to my yes or no.
Yes or no.
Will Kyle Korver have as good of a year, three balls made and shooting percentage as he did last year, you think?
No.
No?
No. Well, look at the contrast. Last year, coming into the preseason, we were hearing about how Kyle Korver was carrying rocks at the bottom of the ocean and running around for his training. He was like the fittest guy in the universe doing all this unbelievable shit. And now, you know, he was quoted the other day saying, like, how do you feel in terms of like being able to start the start of the season? And he was like, I'm somewhere between good enough and great. So, you know, it took that sort of preparation for him to have the season that he did last year. And now he's coming off an injury. I think it's going to take him a little while to get going. And that was like a historic year last year for him at any rate. We might not see that ever again, amazing he was with that sort of proficiency. It's hectic.
All right, Rabbit, what do you got for a hypothetical?
So, you know how, like, Antic was partying and he was in the same club and Sefolosha got, you know, when Chris Copeland got stabbed. So, in that theme, Would you rather be Mike Scott and possibly jail time, unsure how long, but there's a pretty good amount of weed there, so you could be going away for a while, or would you rather get stabbed like Chris Copeland in your sort of pimp hand, strong hand, and but unsure if you could ball the same ever again?
Oh, I'll take jail time. Fucking lift weights, get ripped, get huge.
Get raped.
Whatever has to happen. As long as I can still play ball.
You're a felon. You're a felon in America. Your career's over.
Dude, it's weed. You can't... There's no felony for weed. I don't know. Maybe a stabbing, I guess. Stab my
hand. I'll just take knowing that it's just a single stabbing. Where in prison, you could get shivved at any moment.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. And the Weak Link Award back.
Eat up, Stephen. You're the weakest.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh!
Tim Hardaway Jr., never been a big fan, especially for this team. We were talking about it's all, you know, selfless passing, generate, you know, give up a good shot to get a great shot. He likes to give up a good shot to take a shit shot. So I just don't really see how that, like, you know, on paper, maybe he gives him a bit of more of a threat, one of those, like, Jamal Crawford-y types off the bench, but I just don't really like his game all that much. I think he's a bit overrated. That's just me.
He'll run away from the offense for sure and take a lot of hero shots, I reckon. It's not what you want in Atlanta.
Maybe he was just so toxic at the Knicks, and when he's coming into a good situation with a coach that's not named Derek Fisher, he might do a better job.
We'll see.
And you can't blame him for taking all those shots in New York. Like, he had a green light. Maybe you were being a bit harsh on him.
All right, well, let's move on to Chicago. They finished third in the East last year, 50-32, with a healthy Derrick Rose, who just broke his eyeball, and he's going to be back, so it's really a bunch of nothing. They subtracted no one from their team. ESPN thinks they're going to be second this year. What did you guys have them at?
I've got him at third.
So do I.
It's a consensus.
Yeah,
consensus.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing that they didn't have to lose a single player. They got a rookie in Portis, and they got a new coach, Fred Hoiberg,
the man.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's kind of same shit, different year.
Well, it's not same shit. It's not same shit because they've got a coach who's like polar opposite of Tibbs. From all accounts, Hoiberg's like super mellow, good-natured, mm-hmm. offensive-minded, and Tibbs was like a bit of a jerk, grunted at people. You didn't even know what he was ever thinking. He just ran guys into the ground, and he was super defensive-minded. So this might be what Chicago need, because like you said, we're always talking about they're like D. Rose, Gasol, like Butler, like it's the same every year until now, and this might be that like missing link that gets them over the line. Like, can they blend this offense well together? Can Butler, Rose work it out together? Because they're right there, you know? They're like, they're right there. It just depends if this offense he brings can get them over the line against, like, Cleveland.
Plus, Powell's had a year under his belt with the Bulls.
Love Powell. Powell had a great season last year.
Rose had, you know, another few months to rest his legs and get healthy. Butler's gotten paid. He's going to be... He couldn't be any more confident probably than he is now that he's an established player. Noah's healthy again. Gibson's healthy. McDermott's healthy. All those guys were facing injury issues or coming off injuries. Plus,
so Noah's healthy? Like everyone?
I don't think that's confirmed that Noah's healthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The time off. Yeah, it's not.
I like Tony Snell as well, the ugliest player in the NBA. He's fantastic.
You're the only one.
Yeah, he's got a good game. He's tall. He can get it. He had a couple really cool plays in the playoffs. I don't know why you're anti-Snell.
Anti-Snell.
the name's Snell.
Anti-Snell. That's epic.
And, yeah, again, they didn't have to get rid of anyone. Pretty amazing.
Well, you know, the big thing here, as always, is Rose. For starters, why the fuck did he steal Jimmy Butler's haircut? Jimmy Butler's the only guy in the league that's running that like sort of like late 80s little braid situation, and Rose just
flat top.
Off him straight up. Yeah,
the
he's gone. No, he's, yeah. No, but with the braids, you know, it's like there's little Jerry curls or whatever. He's just taxed it off him, single white female style. It's brutal. And, you know, and this whole, it's hard not to get it caught up in this whole gang rape thing as well. That does surely can't bode too well for D. Rose, having that hanging over his head.
And it makes him sound totally much better when he says that, hey, the chick also was in a gangbang earlier, so don't get too mad at me.
Yeah, well, you just wanted to, and it boils down to she's all bitter because she bought a dilly for the gangbang, and Derrick Rose, with his like $100 million Adidas deal, didn't spring for the dilly.
Yeah.
Just spring for the dilly and it all goes away by the sounds of things.
It's,
you know?
A, it's a shakedown. It's a stone cold shakedown.
Yeah.
What was it? So was it like a solid diamond dildo or something like that? I don't understand why I didn't just give it like $30 for it.
Well, no, lay it out though. Isn't the charges that they were partying or something, him and his manager or his mate, and it's his ex-girlfriend or something, and then they tried it on or something or apparently slipped her a Mickey. And she was like, oh, no, I'm feeling weird. I'm going home. And then she went home and they broke into her house, raped her, and then bailed. Like, you don't rape your ex-girlfriend for starters. And why would they break in? I don't know. It's very weird. It's very strange. Shakedown. Shakedown.
All right. Well, let's go into yes or no's.
Well, you know, we haven't addressed the Dunleavy situation as well. He's out for a little bit now. And they're pretty thin on their wings. And in terms of shooting as well, that's been the problem the last couple of years. Your boy Snell and McBuckets are going to get major minutes now.
Yeah, what about Heinrich? What's going on with Heinrich?
Heinrich needs to be taken out the back and shot.
They got Derrick Rose and Heinrich. Aaron Brooks is going to be playing a lot, and they're all very tiny point guards.
Yeah, they're a little bit weak at the backup point guard spot. I'll say that. I don't know. What about your boy Mirotić? Can we talk about Mirotić? Is there a role for him in this offense? It's pretty interesting. I'm really keen to see Hoiberg's offense. I think the Bulls, this could be what they were waiting for.
It'll be interesting to see if they run Mirotić to the three at all. I know like they were pretty reluctant to do that last year, but you're sort of running out of options there. You got a ton of big guys and you got like a pretty dynamite player in Mirotić. You want to give him a ton of minutes and a ton of looks. You're going to have to, I think, at some stage try and find a way to make it work with all those big guys on the floor.
So what's the deal with Noah? Why is he still injured?
Well, I don't know why he's still injured. I mean, I just think he's old and these injuries are catching up with him. His body's breaking down on him.
The years of abuse of Tibbs playing him tons and tons of minutes. They've had pretty decent playoff runs for the last 5 years. You know, and he's like had to carry a lot of the load, play a ton of minutes, and he works. He works super hard. There's a lot of wear and tear and, you know, he's not a spring chicken anymore. It's starting to catch up with him. But I think that was the main difference between them, you know, being an elite team and not last year was the fact that he couldn't turn it up to the levels that he had the previous year where he was an absolute beast and running plays from the high post. You just didn't see that.
All right, let's go into the next segment, yes or no's with Bag.
Yes or no.
Should the Bulls have bailed on Tibbs?
I think it's time. They were pretty disrespectful in the whole process in a way, weren't they?
Yeah, that's Chicago, though. They've always been like that. But in terms of, like, was it the right move? It was probably the right move 2 seasons ago. They kind of went as far as they could with him. Like, I don't think the players were really responding to him. And it was obvious, like, he broke Noah down. He didn't really have a lot of offensive strategy, especially like in the playoffs. You saw that. I think it was time for him to go.
Hypothetical. The Bulls don't make the finals again, the Eastern Conference Finals again. The Bulls decide, although Rose is a hometown hero, he isn't the player he once was. Meanwhile, Melo's getting itchy feet, not being on a championship caliber team. They decide to trade Rose and Gibson for Melo and Jose Calderon. Are the Bulls more successful with those two players?
Oh.
Too much?
That's tough.
Too much.
Well, there's talk of Melo going to Chicago. Yeah, there has been all season.
Fuck. That's really interesting. Yeah. I think I would do that if I was Chicago.
Really?
Which seems...
I would...
Yeah, it seems outrageous considering, you know, Rose was the MVP not that long ago, but...
They got Butler.
Seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still got Butler.
Yeah,
Butler next to Carmelo. I like it.
And Gasol.
I reckon they'd be more likely to get... There's more like decent point guards out there than there are 25-point-a-game scorers. So I would do that.
Bangarang. Should we wrap up the Chicago Bulls with the Eat Up Steven Award Weak Link?
Eat up, Steven. You're the weakest.
Rabbit, who do you got? Who's the weakest link? Can I take a guess?
It's Heinrich. Of course it's Heinrich.
Poor Heinrich.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's fairly obvious. You don't really have to go into detail. You know, maybe he's got a bit of cult status there. But then I was thinking, no, he doesn't. So now I'm like, I don't know what's positive. It's a shame, but yeah.
Who do you think the most exciting player on the Bulls is at the moment?
Butler.
All day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Tony Snell.
All right, let's move on to the last team in our three-part podcast. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please press subscribe. We're going to be talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a small team in Ohio with the best player in the world. Last year, they lost to the Golden State Warriors. Why they lost, if you're asking me personally, because they didn't have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. If you have Rabbit, that didn't matter. They were 53-29, second in the East. ESPN has them as first place. Nike has them at first place. I have them at second. You guys?
First. Yeah, has to be first. But not that far, not that much daylight from Miami, but still first. They're going to touch up Atlanta, that's for sure. So get Atlanta out of it.
Yeah, fair enough. Whatever. That's fine. But like, even with Irving coming off injury, being rested, LeBron's probably going to play limited minutes. Shumpert's injured. Kevin Love coming back from dislocated shoulder. Tristan Thompson not really even signed on yet.
No, I think it's coming on on a different angle. I think they're going to be coming out with a bit of a point to prove. Well, everyone wrote him off. I think Kyrie's going to come out like he would have been pissed that he got injured. His first finals, his first playoffs.
Yeah, but it's not about how you come out. Injury. It's about how you finish.
Oh, I think they're on a mission all season. I think they're they're going to play this sort of black hats card and just be ready to staunch people. Well, yeah.
The biggest talk is that they've added previous Cavaliers player Mo Williams to the team. How do you feel about it, Bag?
Oh, I think they would have given their right arm for him in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Just like a competent guy who's battle-tested and can hit open shots would have made a ton of difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
You saw what he did in Cleveland first time around. Yep. I don't think his skills have slid that much now.
He was an all-star.
Yeah, he had a 50-point game last year. So it's not like he's lost a touch. And I just like it in terms of, you know, what they need for this team. A secondary creator who can hit open shots. It's perfect. Perfect to play alongside LeBron, and it gives them depth at point guard, and Dele won't be relied upon to cover the shift while Kyrie's injured, which he already is. So that makes it tough. But, yeah, I love it. How do you feel about it? You like?
I love it. Veteran. Knocks down buckets, great ball handler. I think LeBron would be totally pumped. Honestly, this team is going to be so exciting this year. I just think I'm just looking through my notes and just I don't like Iman Shumpert as a starting shooting guard at all on any NBA team. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I just don't think he's good enough.
On this team, I like it because he's playing on either side of Kyrie and LeBron, who are Super Bowl dominant and are going to be doing the bulk of the scoring. So you're not required to be a real scoring threat like you would be on other teams. And you've got three All-Stars playing around you. So if you can make some plays, play good defense.
That's what you do. That's what you're out there for. Play good D. That's your role.
Yeah.
And knock down open shots and you know, opportunistic on offense. It's fine.
I feel you in terms of like his other teams. If he was your starting two guard, I'd be kind of worried. But on this team, I think it's just being solid and adding that defensive.
Yeah. But you've got JR. Would you rather start JR?
No. Well, he's my weak link.
What?
Dude, let's go back last year when he was playing for the Knicks. Fucking hated JR Smith. I think we all called him cancer.
Yeah, and the Knicks he was. Hey, he turned everyone around when he went to Cleveland. He stayed home, played video games, and didn't party. He was just in the clubs too much, y'all. That's it.
That was all it was. Was that it? I don't know. He just won $30,000 for some military family hitting a half-court shot today in preseason.
I'm pretty sure he sucked healthy quantities of dick in the finals. Anyone remember that?
Yeah. That's why it's my weak link award. All right.
What about the whole Tristan Thompson thing?
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
This is weird.
Pretty gross.
He turned down 5 years, $94 million. That's what he was. He was
no, he wants that. 5 years, he wants 94.
Yeah, they offered him 5 years, $80 million, and he said no.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're looking at like a, you know, he's really he's a reserve, and he's like
a reserve.
He's a 10-10 guy, and he wants that sort of money. I think it's kind of ludicrous. I would have taken 5 years 80 if I was him.
You know what though? He's just got fucking LeBron backing him the whole way, which makes this whole situation kind of awkward for Cleveland. They're already over the tax. They don't want to pay him that, and he's a backup to Kevin Love. Plus, Verringer is going to be back. Just because you had a couple of good games and, you know, you were a machine for a while on the boards for like half a season, I think he's delusional. I think it's crazy, and he's putting the whole team in an awkward position. He's not even signed yet, and he hasn't come to. He's missed the first week or so of preseason. Like it's shit house. It's not a cool situation for him.
It's unprofessional.
I think he's being super selfish. It's way unprofessional.
Yeah.
I think it's toxic. And with LeBron being the leader of the team, they're going, they tweeted a photo. They were at a wedding together, and LeBron tweeted a photo of the two of them and said, get it done. Hashtag get it done. Like, what the fuck? That's just kind of shit catty. It's unhealthy. It's fucking stupid. I don't rate that at all.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I think that's cool.
Not sorry.
No, I'm with you. See, he's just, you know, I don't think he thinks his value will ever get higher. Because he was just beasting on the national stage in the finals. And so, you know, his agent's obviously trying to milk every little bit of money out of them while they've got this hookup with LeBron as well. But, yeah, you got to realize you're in a good situation at some point. And 5 years, 80 for, you know, what he is totally, you know, a little bit more than what he's worth, actually.
Way more. I can't believe they offered
that.
And
now you're missing preseason, which isn't helping. Does anyone think Varejao is going to make it through the whole season?
No.
Okay.
Has he ever?
No. All right. Well, let's get into yes or no's. Rabbit, what do you got for me? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Well, at first, does Thompson deserve that contract, which is an obvious no. But I've got a different one, which is, will Dellavedova celebrate like we asked him to this season?
Here we go. Shout
when
out.
He knocks down a couple of threes. If you don't know, he did a little bit of a chat on Facebook, and he wanted questions thrown at him. And everyone was asking him, oh, where's the best place to eat in Cleveland and rah, rah, rah. And I said, it would be super cool if you could celebrate a la Leighton Hewitt lawnmower starter next time you knock down a big three ball. And we got a like. So I'm just praying that we see one.
Come on.
I got a like from Dellavedova. By the way, footnote, I think that puts me in better stead than last season when I was hating on him.
So now you're on board.
Yeah, vindicated. We're bros. We're tight. He's cool. It's rad.
You're using this whole platform just to fucking tell everyone that Matthew Dellavedova liked one of your comments on
Facebook.
That's
right. That's 100%
That's a redeeming feature for hosing on him for all of the playoffs last year.
Correct.
Trying to win.
Where's your likes? Well, I'm tighter with him than you.
I didn't get any likes.
No. So, yeah. Anyway, point being, answer my question. Will he celebrate a la Leighton Hewitt lawnmower starter after a big three?
Come on!
Yep.
I don't think so.
I think he's going to have to get on the court to celebrate. And that's going to be his undoing with Mo Williams in the house now. It's going to be tough times.
Kyrie's going to get injured again. It'll be fine.
He's saying no. Fuck you guys.
All right, hypothetical bag. What do you got?
Okay, we were talking about Trainwreck a little earlier and LeBron, and you know everyone's banging on like he's fucking Anthony Hopkins. And if he wasn't that good, deal with it.
He's an athlete, though. Athletes aren't actors.
Well, when I'm watching him on the screen, he's an actor. He's got an IMDb. He's an actor, isn't he?
But he's still an actor second, you know?
He got paid.
Yep. He'll be in the Screen Actors Guild. Good job.
Does that mean he gets to vote?
Surely. So there's like obviously been a bunch of rumors about Space Jam 2 coming out with LeBron. Mm. But I ask you this. Would you rather see that or LeBron as Kyle Watson in Above the Rim 2 or Sidney Dean in Why Men Can't Jump 2?
Oh. So basically you're asking what's the best basketball movie ever?
No.
I think he's not the right person to be in White Man Can't Jump. He's too old to be Above the Rim. I think Space Jam 2, let's get Blake Griffin and get some bad guys in there, and it'll be hilarious. I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I'm going with Space Jam 2. I don't want to see him trying to be serious. And, like, he's a bit of a douche, I reckon, like, off the court, LeBriz. Like, I'm not really a fan of his his operation. So not if he's shit. In cartoon form, that makes it a bit better.
Yeah.
What about if he wasn't in any of them? Would you rather see Above the Rim 2 or White Man Can't Jump 2?
White Man Can't Jump.
Above the Rim 2.
White Man Can't Jump is a much better movie.
No, it's a bit too PG. Above the
what
Rim.
What are you talking about? It's PG.
Look at Above the Rim.
Oh, dude.
Is anyone getting sliced? There's Tupac slicing people.
Yeah,
come
I
on.
Understand that. It's lower budget, but no, like, that's where...
Lower budget.
White Man,
more realistic.
White Man,
it's on the street.
Maybe, but it's not as cool. And White Man Can't Jump.
No one's bringing that two-on-two pansy-ass Woody Harrelson bullshit to Venice Beach. I'm telling you that.
Dude, have you ever played basketball on Venice Beach?
I've never played there, no.
Well,
that,
you'd
what
appreciate
the fuck
it.
Has that got to do with it? I've seen it. Yeah. And I'm saying that white boy shit wouldn't fly down there.
Yeah. You haven't played on Venice Beach, but you got a like from Delvin Dover on Facebook. So that's just as cool.
Yeah.
We're moving up, boys.
White Man Can't Jump is a better movie. It had heaps of swear words when you were a kid. It was insane. That's where the Your Mom Is So Fat shit started going mainstream in high school. And you saw Rosie Perez's boobs. That was insane when I was 11.
Yeah, I'm into it.
That was
insane.
I don't want to see Tupac Shakur in seven different onesie outfits. Like,
you're getting misled. The question wasn't what's a better movie.
I don't know why you think Above the Rim is that great of a story either. Like, I know there's key actors in it and they have interesting dialogue and it's an interesting story, but really, it's about a janitor that used to be a really good baller and his friend died off the building when they were playing ball. What the fuck is that?
Without a ball.
Dude, I'd rather watch two guys hustle and win a championship in a street ball competition any day.
It's about Kyle. It's about Kyle learning to play as a team man.
Yeah.
Get a good rotation on his jumper and be a better person than he was from, you know, just like growing up in
the
streets.
It's about the bad guy from Cliffhanger getting over his issues.
So good.
So, all right.
Space Jam 2.
Yeah,
Space
totally.
Jam 2.
All right, and I guess the Weak Link Award has to go to Tristan Thompson for just making such a big deal about it, not signing his big contract, and generally wasting his preseason with more money.
Eat up, Steven. You're the weakest.
When he's already on a championship-caliber team.
That or Richard Jefferson.
All right, well, thanks again for listening to the Full Court Press three-part series of the Eastern Conference. We're going to be breaking down the Western Conference next into three parts, which should be pretty exciting. You guys excited about that?
Hell yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back very soon. Okay. There you go. Tupac Shakur in seven different onesie outfits. Like,